And I think the progression of our song set kind of set the tone for us in that phrase that Mark repeated in his prayer, that we are laying back in his arms. We just recently watched with our oldest grandson, almost 19 in his first year at college, the old movie Signs back in the 1900s with Mel Gibson. And I know the subject matter is kind of suspect and all that, but at a moment in the movie, his son is having an asthma attack, and his inhaler is upstairs where they can't get to it, and he has his son sit on his lap, and he puts his hands around him and says, "Breathe with me, the air is coming." It's actually a movie about faith of sorts, and so I think the Lord has positioned us to be thinking about how to do that, to lay back and let him establish the pace of our breath. And as we continue in looking through the Gospel of Mark in our series, Good News from Mark, we finally get to a place where Jesus starts preaching and teaching and modeling, like we've talked about the last couple of weeks, so that we can understand this concept of sinking back into him. Only, it's better to think of it as face-to-face, because that's where he wants us, face to face. So today we're called to call. And Jesus sets the pace right at the beginning of his ministry, as Mark gives us this account of this great life. And so the passage is chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. We'll read all the way through it and then go back and hopefully draw some helpful things. One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little farther up the shore, Jesus saw Zebedee's sons, James and John, in a boat repairing their nets. He called them at once, and they also followed him, leaving their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men. Amen. So, as Jesus starts his ministry, it is so valuable that he puts first things first. Not only the first thing first, but the overarching theme of his whole purpose in coming to us. He puts it right out there, and we see it track throughout the rest of the Gospel of Mark. And I appreciate that. I don't like beating around the bush. I don't like talking to car dealers who want to sell you a car and they just won't get to. I'm a bottom line guy. I've had a guy calling me from some certain ministry. If I said the name, some of you would know what this ministry is, that they're in the business of selling you stuff to help you reach people. And, and I wrote him a text and said, "Stop calling me. I don't need your services. I just like to get to the bottom instead of a whole sales pitch." And so Jesus doesn't do any of that beat around the bush, guess what I'm here for kind of stuff. He comes right out and says it in verse 17, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And that's the theme of his whole ministry, and it folds in all of the things we see as complex, or perhaps they're just facets of what it is to be a Jesus follower, but it's folded into this simple concept, "Come, follow me." It was his first words of ministry. And what we see here is that in the Gospel of Mark, we hear him calling. He shows us what he's calling us to over this three-year ministry so we can follow. Because you want to know what you're following, and of course, when you start following something, let's say, for instance, you follow a new person on Facebook. So we just met my brother, who has been here a few times, Matthew. He's got a girlfriend. And we met her yesterday, and so she wrote a thanks for having us, and we wrote and now we're following one another. And when you first follow somebody, you don't know much about them, name, maybe occupation, whatever you shared that caused that link to happen. And then over time, you find out more about them. And Jesus is the same here in this simple call. He calls so we can figure out what to follow and to follow. And he teaches that while we're following, to see how he called, we can call others. That's what this whole thing about. That's what the title of this week's is about. We are called to call. which includes follow, because you can't call somebody to follow something you're not following. Well, you can. People do that all the time, and people follow what, you know, people who don't know what they're talking about. But that's not the way Jesus does it. So there are two themes that I want you to keep in mind as we go through today. First is the joy of being called. And we'll investigate a little bit more the breadth of that through the next few minutes. But there is a great joy of being chosen. And there are several venues where we get to be chosen in this world, and we can, boy, I'm a part of this, and you know, maybe I have something to give to the team or to the effort, whatever it is. But the other side is the privilege and practice of being someone who calls, which is our mission as we join with Jesus in his mission, as he starts his ministry by putting this first thing first, this most important thing first, and blending all of the rest of what he teaches back to that. And this is why, to call and to be called and to call, because Jesus is here to rescue. That's not totally accurate. He's here to recover. I think that's a better way. Sometimes if we think only of rescue, it gives us a different view. Then he came to recover his intended purpose for each of us, his intended design for each of us. I prayed this morning about something in my seeking to trust the Lord with all my heart, Proverbs 3:5. I blew something yesterday, and I'm before him this morning and said, Lord, you know, I'm not totally useless and fractured. I'm saved. Show me who you wanted me to be and who you want me to be in this situation. And he does that for us as well. So he starts out with first things first. Number two in your handout is Jesus' way. That is, how did he call? That's important because we have questions about how do we reach out? I mean, I do. Maybe you don't, but I do. Different people groups, different times, different spaces and places and things like that. So it's good that he didn't just call us to something that he wasn't practicing himself. We have lots of leaders in the world, and perhaps they at one time did some things of merit that warranted them having a high position and calling us to do that. But oftentimes in our world, we see someone who is not participating, but calling us to do something they're not willing to do, or they don't know how to do. And Jesus models this for us. So in being called, we also can learn how to call. Two things. A, he was actively ready. Jesus was ready. Wherever he went, he was ready. He was not passively waiting. He was actively ready. He came to these fishermen, and he gave them this call to follow him. And in the epistle of 1 Peter, Peter tells us this in another way. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. We didn't need verse 16, but I wanted to keep verse 16 attached because the way Jesus did in his tone and how he appealed to people is as important as the fact that he was ready. He was actively ready, and B, in every place he was actively ready. So what I see in human nature, and I see that because I know myself well enough to see how I do it, I'm always ready on Sunday morning to tell the message of Jesus. I'm always ready at certain times, but there may be places where I hesitate to call what I've been taught, to call what he modeled, to call what he's the good things that he has given me. That's human nature. Jesus had no protected spaces. No matter where he went, he was calling. His call wasn't always the same. That gives us hope, too, because we don't always just have to be the same and have the, you know, because there are certain ways to do things at certain times for certain people, and to be sensitive about that. And also, we gain that by asking the Lord to give us that wisdom. But there are no places where we go, I'm not going to do this here. So that's the first kind of question we ask ourselves. Do I have protected spaces where I wouldn't call? In any way, shape, or form, I wouldn't call. Jesus had no spaces like that. He was always ready, and in every place he was, he had his form, and he did it in many ways. Sometimes it was through a healing that he was able to bring good news, not just proclaiming a good truth, which he did all the time as well. So not only did he start out with the first things first and give us this primary thing to come back to, not only did he show us the way was as he was going, number three, he meets us in the normal flow of life. Now, there are places for crusades and planned activities and concerts where the gospel message is given and it's on purpose, and those are all good. But we're talking about life, our lives and the flow of life and as we walk in life. And if anyone had the right to call a crusade and say, we're going to get everybody saved, it'd be Jesus, right? He was holy, more holy than Billy Graham, because Billy Graham was human. He had the right just to say, I'm here, everybody come on the mountainside, I'll be pushing off in the boat. And he did that, but it wasn't that way. Prearranged with certain conditions and requirements, he meets us in the normal flow of life. The pressure is off. A, there are no pre-requirements for us being called. Being a fisherman in these two sets of brothers' cases, the first disciples called, was no qualifier to hear the mission of the call of Jesus to come and follow him. There was nothing in the lives of these people that qualified them, and we are unqualified to be called, but we are nonetheless called in the normal flow of life. We don't have to wait. We don't have to, as you know, if you grew up in the church, you may have been taught a certain prayer to lead people to pray when they come to Christ. And there's nothing wrong with that, but to think that's the only way people come to Jesus. Okay, here's the requirement. We live in grace. We live in God's mercy. And so he doesn't make us shape up before he calls. We can't shape up. Man, it's hard enough to shape up after he calls and you say yes, right? And there's stuff we're working on. And the way the Message version puts these two verses, Romans 5, verse 6 and then verse 8, I cut out 7 because the flow of this thought, it to me spoke this truth that we need to remember, because it feeds into that. Remember, I said two things we need to think about, and that is how wonderful it is, the joy of the called. And this helps us feed into the joy of the called. Christ arrives right on time to make this happen. He didn't and doesn't wait for us to get ready. He presented himself for this sacrificial death when we were far too weak and rebellious to do anything to get ourselves ready. And even if we hadn't been so weak, we wouldn't have known what to do anyway. But God put his love on the line for us by offering his son in sacrificial death while we were of no use whatever to him. The normal flow of life. I've heard Mark Fernandez's story of how he came to Christ and where he was in life. I have a story of how I came back to Christ, and my original salvation wasn't a giant thing. I was very, very young, but when I came back, it was a huge story and change. And the common denominator in all our stories, whether you were wild and rebellious or not, is that we didn't deserve it. We couldn't have figured it out. We couldn't have made ourselves ready. There are no pre-requirements. He meets us as life goes on. It's not just some big moment. It becomes the big moment when we realize the call and say yes. But it's there all the time. So there's no pre-requirements in this normal flow of life where Jesus meets us. And the second thing, B, is there's no limitations. That is, anyone can be called. And this feeds into the B under number two. He was ready in every place that he was. When I think of limitations, this goes beyond my call into who am I calling by the way I live my life, by the words I use in my life. Do I think there are people who are too difficult to be saved? You know, you have people in your life and they've gone either, known this way in a certain form or not, and they're living a life that's far away. And we often say things like, man, how could they ever turn? But Jesus never did that. There are no limitations in every flow of life. We know in the course of his life, which we'll review over, he met with sinners of all kinds, with prostitutes, with the lowest of the low, and he was compassionate and clear in this call to come and follow me, and he didn't make the kind of judgments of worthy or not worthy, because the fact is we're all unworthy. And so there should be no limitations, and we should go back to him and ask for help when we're doing the calling and the difficult people in our lives. You know, there's sometimes that in the family, your own blood family, there's that person who seems, it's the hardest one for me to talk about Jesus with. Sometimes it's, I'm afraid to drive them away. Well, you know what? That's God's domain. I would say that's God's problem, but it's his domain, and when we are honestly in the flow of our lives, sharing the call of Christ in the flow of their lives, it doesn't matter whether we think they might recoil or not. We just are honestly, openly, lovingly, with compassion, as Jesus was, sharing the good news. That's what this whole series is about, the good news here in the Gospel of Mark. The state of other people's lives can be messy. Messy beyond belief. But we remember that God stepped into our mess and said, hey, fisher person, follow me. So he started out with the first things first, and he will keep folding that back in as we move through. He had a way as he was going, which is better than preparing just for an event. You should prepare for special events when they happen. We do that when we do special events here and things like Faith Walk and all of that. But we should be ready daily, as Jesus was, to share that in the normal flow of life. And number four, Jesus initiates an invitation. It's always an invitation. It's not a demand. That's so important. The way we respond to those two different things, as well as the way that we express those two different things. I was talking with Ziggy before the service, and he said, Pastor, do you like being told what to do? And I said, no, but I've had official boards for 38 years, so I've been told what to do a lot. No, I was just joking about that. I did say that, but I was just joking about that. It's better when you invite somebody to participate in something than to somehow make some kind of command. Now, Jesus had the right to make commands, and he did. And we'll see. There are commands that he gives us throughout this journey on earth. But his call to all of us is in the form of an invitation. It's an invitation to see. So watch me as I do this. You know, the disciples, these four, didn't have really much of a clue what was going on. Watch me, and then you have something to proclaim. And as I proclaim, you'll see proof of what I'm saying, and it will all become an assurance in you that this is true. And it helps us to follow even more closely or more quickly. I think quick following goes a long way. It's an invitation to imitate, well, not just see how he did it, but to do what he does. And consistent invitation from God. So this was not the first time God called. And it is expressed throughout all of the scriptures. And I just have three places to remind us that this call has been and continues to be offered to people. Not a command to do it, but a call to come. And I love the first one. From Psalm 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. It's just like trying any new food, taste and see. And until you taste, you don't know. But that's also sometimes how you can develop a, you know, habit. Taste and see. He invites us to taste and see. So that's not come full bore and know exactly what you're doing. The only way you can follow me is to be complete. It's taste. It's the first taste. And I'm going to show you. I'm going to commit to being with you. And that's why I included that today. This, it's constant. It's not, oh, you had your chance. You know, no more chances. Now, there'll be a day when there are no more chances, but God is so gracious to continue to call to us. Isaiah 55, a couple of verses there. Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, come take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. The original call to the people of Israel, but this call remains for all who would hear the voice of the Lord. And I love that it's not a call for everything all at once or nothing. It's a call to start. It's an invitation to come and start. And in Matthew 11, 28, one of the first places I committed to memory after I came back to Christ is, come to me all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He calls us to rest, not just to constant activity. So as he declared this first, an important principle of calling and being called and calling, and showed us a way to go about this, and it should be in every part of who we are, nothing left out. Understanding the struggle we have in conforming to the image of Christ and all that. Meeting people in the normal flow of life, just as he met us in the normal flow of life. Proclaiming these invitations to be a part of this journey, our journey with Jesus, and being consistent even when people resist us. It's really easy. I mean, I knew one person. I don't know if I knew this person personally or not. It's been so many years ago, or just knew the story, that blew in to her workplace. It was a lady who worked in a shop up in Roscommon, and she had a big old Bible, and she went in and kind of waved around. She told them all they were going to hell if they didn't believe in Jesus, and then she left and said, I've done my thing. I witnessed to the gospel, and they've had it, and that's it. That's not what we're called to do. It's not what Jesus called to do. He walked 3 years and he paid the price. Karen brought up in our prayer time with the praise team this morning about the effort of loving. It was a part of their morning devotion, she and Dan. And Jesus expelled all the effort required to love us, and we're called to express effort in the face of being rejected. And oftentimes our first offering of an invitation is rebuffed. And we don't give up. We love and find ways to love, and we continue to invite. And so after all of that, number five, they followed. These four people followed. The first disciples called followed. Not that Jesus didn't have anybody that was paying attention to what he was doing, but he was just beginning to do the things that would make him famous, actually more socially famous that he wanted to do, and we'll find that when he rebukes spirits and says, don't declare who I really am yet. It's not time yet. And what we see in their following is what we also need to reflect, understand, and make effort toward, not only initially, which is, you know, the one side of our relationship is it has to start sometime, but there's a continuation of all of this. A, they made a radical change. But it wasn't complete. It wasn't complete because we know for the next 3 years, no matter what gospel account you read, these disciples called to imitate, follow closely behind Jesus. I mean, they ate with him. They slept in the same place with him. I just can't imagine. I can't imagine. There's only been one person that close to me in my life, and that's Diana. I can't imagine Jesus and spending all time of my life with him, and yet they got stupid, they didn't understand, they had to learn things and break old habits. So it's not that everything was changed, but there was a radical change. What was their change? They stopped what they were doing from fishing. I mean, James and John left their dad holding the nets. That's your business now. I mean, if you know anything about the fishing of those days, it's not like big commercial engine-driven trawlers and giant nets and all that. It was hard work. We have a couple of examples in Jesus interacting with people about how hard that work is, and they followed him. Oh, I mentioned this now then, and I'll come back to it, but do you remember the change, your first initial change? when you came to Christ? First challenge is always to me to the church for some reason. Because I know so many who've made professions of faith, but nothing changed except a mental assent, a mental yes to a principle or an idea instead of a change in life. Not everything, but one thing, something changed. For me, it was on the roof of a garage when the pastor visited me and challenged me to come back. It didn't happen while he was there. I bet he was really going, doggone it, why didn't it happen while I was there? But 15 minutes after he left, it happened. And things, my whole mindset changed. I had a lot of things to clean up. So the first is just like, did you really receive the invitation of Jesus? Reflect on the change that has happened. That is the first change of many changes, as we already talked about, as the disciples discovered who they were. That's probably the most injurious of all following Jesus, as you find out who you really are. Because we all think we're pretty okay. Maybe not fantastic or anything, but we think, well, you know, we're okay. I got my problems, but it's okay. And then we find how far away from God we really are. But that injury comes, after that injury comes the joy of receiving the call. And they made a radical change, and B is they made a radical commitment to Jesus in the face of the unknown. And I think our culture lends itself to wanting to know all the possible answers before we'll make a commitment. Which is interesting. That's not true in the marketplace. We'll often see an ad that touts a fantastic cure or the miracle thing we need, or that's going to fit the bill, and we don't research the company. We just shell out the money and we get it, and it's a piece of junk, or it doesn't work right, or whatever it is. But in this aspect of this personal journey that people are on, they got to know more. I watch a lot of question and answer Bible preachers and people asking some questions. We can never answer all the questions of people who are asking, what about this, what about this? The question is, what about Jesus? What about this call to follow him? These men left their nets, and they heard this, I will teach you how to fish for men. But I don't think they had any idea what it meant. Fish for men? Have you seen that ice fishing clip on YouTube where this guy comes up out of the hole wiggling like a big fish? It's not that. It's not fishing for men like fishing for fish, for livelihood, for an income. They didn't know what this all meant. This was at the very beginning of his ministry. The next set of disciples, or disciples that were called after that, saw healings and miracles. But these four, there was very little, as far as we know, that Jesus did before they were called. So they didn't commit to everything being fine and everything working out. They committed to the one who called. They trusted him enough to say, you know, this is probably going to get weird. I'm probably going to be challenged. They probably didn't think any of that. They just went. But that was their commitment that kept them following him. Was it wasn't to the outcome, it was to the one who was calling, Jesus. So that's where our calling to other people is different. We're calling them to Jesus, not to ourselves. And he is the one who will uncover at a rate that we can absorb and then make more changes what it means to really follow in all things and in all ways and at all times as much as that ever is possible in this world and its fracture. So there are three places, lines or sets of lines, if you have a handout, to consider as we now have started this journey of Jesus teaching and modeling the good news, my change. And so we already mentioned that, but so it might be, man, I really made a change once, but now I pretty much do what I want. And you might not be doing things that are obviously dangerous or evil, but if you're only doing what you want, you're on the edge of trouble, big trouble, my change. Sometimes it's remembering. I mean, that moment on the roof is quite a galvanizing moment in my life, that when things sometimes get a little out of focus, I can remember, for one, his faithfulness, because he was giving me this invitation for 8 years where what would describe my pursuit was hedonism, self-pleasure. That was my whole goal in life. He never stopped that invitation, and it was there I received the invitation to come back to him. So sometimes it's remembering that change and celebrating that change and then going on from that place and going, but I know there's more change that perhaps I've been resisting. Lord, show me the next thing so that I can follow, and in following, I can call, because calling is rescuing. Calling is recovering God's intended design on individual people that he made a certain way. And one day when we are revealed without all of the fractures, man, what a gasping, joyous day that's going to be. Man, I can hardly wait. Now, the other two are my unknowns. So they made a radical commitment to Jesus in the face of the unknowns. What are you facing right now, an unknown that's making you question the following of Jesus? We are honest. We try to be honest. If we don't speak these things, if we don't pray out these things, and I really encourage you to find someone you trust to share if you have one of those issues, we can't let go of them to Jesus to be conquered, to find victory. And then the final one is my callings. And this is the one where you're thinking about the people in your life who need to see Jesus in action through you, who need to hear the good news, whether it's a direct proclamation that Jesus came to save you and he died for your sins, or through acts of service and giving God the credit and all the different ways that we'll see Jesus did, because he didn't just always come out and say what the bald, bare truth is, but he was there calling all the time. Now, no lines for this, but there may be people in the shot of my voice, either here or online, now or later, and you never heard that Jesus is calling you, or you never took it seriously, or something gets in the way. This simple call to fishermen who had not much of an idea of who Jesus was and what he was doing here, responded to his call, and he changed them into the 12 minus one who would lead the church and bring us to the day today where we also hear the call of Jesus, and then we have a life worth living of calling others to know the good news of Jesus. Accept this call in the same way that these four people did and say, I don't understand what all of it means, but it's the one who's calling. I trust him, and I'm going to follow him, and you will not be disappointed as we continue to commit things to him. So let's stand together and pray. Praise team will come up to sing the doxology and close. And man, don't forget this important item of sharing insights the Holy Spirit reveals to you with someone you trust who can join you in prayer as we get to participate in this wonderful call, not only to a changed life now, but to eternity forever and ever. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this. I guess in one way we could say a humble beginning. There was no, as we talked about, a trailer that this was coming, except for John the Baptist locally. You didn't send angels to sing to all of us, except for the shepherds when Jesus was born. There was none of the hype that we see in our world today. It was this: you came into the lives of the people you called a long time ago from Abraham to try to convince them. And we know, Lord, that the majority of that family of your calling did not accept you but rejected you. And your call came to rest on those outside of those who had been originally called. And through that, the whole world was open and is open right now to your call. Remind us, Lord, it is the call of a loving Father, not a military call to service, not a call to lift ourselves up by our own bootstraps, a call to join you, a call to surrender to you, a call to be filled by you. And in so being filled and following, we get to call other people and say, there is worth and meaning in life today, right now, in Jesus. And even better things when this life is over. Lord, I pray for whatever struggles are going on in this vein this morning to just leave our nets, leave this current, our, just the world with the way we think and the way we approach things, and come to you and say, I want to follow. Thank you for your commitment to taking as much time as we need to continually uncover and learn the things we need to learn, to be blessed upon blessed upon blessed as we surrender more to you. So lead us, Lord, to have these things come up in our thinking, to be able to get them out and share them with others. And Lord, help us in following you to receive the joy of being called and the joy of being able to call others. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.